My daughter is currently, my oldest daughter Ruth is doing a job in between going to university. She's working at Waitrose and she regularly clocks in over 50 hours a week. At the moment, that's what it looks like for her. And for some of you, it's even more. So, which means a large amount of us spend 40% of our waking hours, which does not include working, at work. We spend more time, often, with the people we work with than those we live with. We spend more time at work than we do at home. So we need to understand what it's like to work, whether that be at school, whether that be in a paid job or a voluntary organisation, and how can we be more Christian at it? I want to consider, why is it that we work? Now, these are some of the reasons. So, and of course, there'll be nobody here that this is the only reason why you work, because, of course, we're much... This is very tacky, isn't it? Some of us work just to earn money, of course, but we're much higher than that, so we go for work for much more noble reasons than that. Yeah, right. Some of us go to fulfill our potential. Some of us go to work because it's stimulating and challenging. Some of us go because we just like to meet people. There's something to do, really, isn't it, eh? And so, sort of, you know, and some of us actually because it's a convenient place to meet non-Christians and share Jesus with them. And we all have different reasons for why it is we work. But what should be the reason why we work? What does Scripture tell us about our work and what our approach to be? Before I move on to that, I want to address what I think is the major issue that we have to get right first. And that is our attitude. Our belief or outlook about work can make a massive difference. When we separate our faith and our work, we can compartmentalize it, which means that actually we can be great Christians at the weekend. But when we get to work, we almost have a sort of personality change. Because we actually don't have a Christian attitude to our whole life. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, and this is, we're going to be dotting around the Bible a bit, so you can either sort of take notes or have a look, says this in 1 Corinthians 9, which is on page 168. It says, For though I am free with all respects to, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more for them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law I became one with under the law, so I might win those under the law. And he goes on to talk about it, and he says, I have become these different things to win people for Christ. Paul's attitude was, no matter where he was there to win people for Christ. And that should be our attitude when we are approaching work, no matter what job we do, whether that's voluntary, whether that's paid, or whether or not it's school. Because we're there to make a difference. We are there to actually affect people. And it is all about our attitude and how do we view our Christian life. Is it in a whole or is it compartmentalized? So we have to get a right attitude. But what's the attitude that we should be having? What does that look like? So let's have a quick look at why we should work. What does the Bible say about why we should work? The first one is we should work because we were created to work. And that's a tough thing, I know, to hear, but it's true. Some of us feel that we were created for a life of luxury and to be wedded on hand and foot. I'm sorry, we were created actually to work. Genesis 1, Jamie read it for us earlier on, and it says this. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said to them, that is Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over everything that moves upon the earth. And also in Genesis 2:15, it said, the Lord The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. So we were given authority over nature to subdue it and have dominion over it, to work at it, to till it. And that was in Eden. That was in paradise. That was before the fall. So we were created to work. And why? Because we are made in the image of a creator God. Jamie read a bit earlier which said about, and God rested on the seventh day. He worked and he rested. Our God works. And we were created in his image. And we are created to work. So God works, and therefore, so should we. So why do we work? We were created to work. The second thing was, we need to work so we are not a burden to other people. So we are not a burden to other people. This doesn't mean if you can't work. So if you're unable to work for any sort of, you know, physical or mental reasons, this is not saying that actually you must work. But it's saying if we can, we need to, so we're not a burden. 2 Thessalonians 3 says this. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked day and night so that we might not be a burden to any of you. This is not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. We need to work to not be a burden. So the first one is that we are a good example. Here it says that actually, at the beginning part, it says that we should be an example, and that's set out through Scripture. And the second thing it says here is it's a good witness to other people. Suzanne and I know somebody who unfortunately is no longer following Jesus. And for a long time, he didn't really have a job, but he got other people to support him in what he was doing. The problem is, what he was doing wasn't very quantifiable. He was a worship leader in a church. And actually, to the world around him, they just thought he was a bit lazy. So he didn't really do much for his witness with some people. Not everybody, but actually some people said, well, what does he do? What does he do with his time? Not you, Chris, personally. I didn't change the name to protect the innocent. But it's like, we all know what Chris does. He's very busy. But anyway, it was actually a poor witness because actually he didn't appear to have really a job. And for the people around him, that was difficult. And so I think that actually we are an example in the way that we work. The third point is that we need to work to provide. Provide for ourselves, provide for our families, and provide for those who cannot provide for others. Ephesians 4. Thieves may give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. One of our things to work is to provide for the people that we care for and that we love. And of course, we work in a different world of work, whereas very much in the biblical world of work, yeah, there was commerce, but a lot of people worked by tilling the fields and doing manual labor. They can grow food, and that is part of what they do as well. But actually, we need to work in order that we can provide for ourselves. And Scripture teaches us elsewhere that actually it's about providing for our friends and our families, for people in the church, for people who have got needs, for the hungry, for the widow, for the orphan. And we need to work to provide for that. So, we work because we're created to, we work to not be a burden, and we work to provide for others. And finally, we work because we need to tell other people about Jesus. We spend time at work with people. A lot of time at work with people. And it should be natural that we talk about our faith in a normal conversational way. And that's a really important thing about our work. It's almost like going to work and not telling somebody that you were married or that you had children or that you had family, or that you were going on holiday, or whatever. It's as natural as that. If we don't actually tell people that we follow Christ, then what are we doing? 1 Peter 3 says this: always be ready to make a defense to anyone who demands for an account of the hope that's in you. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an account of the hope that is in you. We should be ready in the place of work to actually answer anybody's argument or challenge about us and our faith. Particularly as, unlike home, we probably work in quite a diverse working environment. And we must be ready to talk about that, to share that. And it should be a very natural thing. So, why do we need to work? We need to work because we were created to work, not to be a burden to others, to provide and to tell others about Jesus. And you're sitting there thinking, well, I get it, but why is work so hard sometimes? Even when you love your job, sometimes it can be a real drag, can't it? There are bits of our job which none of us like. To say that I love all my job is probably not true, because there's bits of our job we think, oh, do I have to do that? And the answer is yes. And why is it that work is so hard? It's because, like everything in creation, it's subject to the fall. Page 3 in the Bible, Genesis 3 says this: And he said to the man, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and eaten from the tree from which I command you, you shall not eat it. You shall not eat of. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground out of which you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. Work is tough, work is hard, work is a drag, it's a grind, because of our sin. And actually, we have to get our heads around that. And that's without putting any sector-specific stuff on it. For some of you, you work in sectors where it's actually really difficult to be a Christian as well, because you're opposed. I spent some time last weekend with somebody who works in the media. She works in radio, and for her, being a Christian is really hard, because and this is local radio. This is not Channel 4. This is like, you know, Radio Kent, and it opposes Christians. It's very difficult to be a Christian there. I've worked extensively in the construction industry. It's very hard to be one there. And even our local authorities, where actually you can be disciplined for being a Christian in your workplace who does something, whether it be wearing a cross, offering to pray with somebody. It's really difficult. We live in a place which means that what we do is we're opposed and it's hard, and we sometimes go into survival mode. We go to work, but we don't really share our faith. We don't really live as a Christian. We blend in and we fit. Sorry, my iPad's playing up. Come on, play ball. No, thank you. So how should we work? If you can turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you. We're back to Ephesians chapter 6. And so it says, this passage, I think, gives us indication about how we should work as employers. Now, Ephesians 6, this part of Ephesians 6 was written to Christian slaves about their work for their masters. I think we can legitimately take that and apply it to those of us who work for or with people. When we're asked to do something, when we have like an earthly master, because we have to work for somebody and they pay us and they control what we do, that is a similar relationship. The master-slave relationship we don't have anymore, but we can actually make the adjustment there. That actually, that's what this passage can be applied to. And so I want to look at this passage a bit and say, what does this look like? And what does this tell us about how we should work? Well, the first thing it tells us in verse 5 is that we should be obedient. As Christian workers, we should be obedient. And for some of us, that's really difficult, because we're not naturally very obedient people. And actually, obedience is critical here. That the passage talks about that we are obedient to Christ. We obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as if you were to obey Christ. So it's saying that we need to obey. This doesn't mean when somebody asks you to do something that is illegal or unethical, you obey, because it predetermines that actually people are doing things which are right. But in a general working environment, when we're asked to do something, we shouldn't moan, we shouldn't complain, we should obey. The second thing this passage, I think, tells us is that we need to be self-motivated. This is verse 5 to 7. In singleness of heart, as you obey Christ, not only while being watched in order to please them, but as the slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Render service with enthusiasm as to the Lord and not to men and women. So it's saying here we should be motivated. We should be workers who don't have to be told what to do. Don't have to be asked a number of times. That actually we're doing it because we're doing it for Christ. We want to do a good job. We don't want to do the minimum in order that we can just bide our time. We want to do a good job. And I think that's what this passage is saying. That even when we work in an environment where actually people do the minimum amount of work they can in order to stop and go on to something else, or when the boss isn't around, you just don't work so hard. And it's a completely different atmosphere. It doesn't mean you become sort of, you know, a complete killjoy. But it does mean that we should be self-motivated. And we should work for Christ. No matter how tedious and boring, we should glorify Christ. Brother Lawrence, a monk back in the sort of 14th, 15th century, in his book, Practicing the Presence of God, said this: "It is enough for me to pick up a straw from the ground for the love of God. It is enough for me to pick up a straw from the ground for the love of God." No matter what he was asked to do, he did it for the glory of Christ and the love of God. Can we honestly say that when we work, we do stuff for the glory of God and Christ? Or do we do it for ourselves? No matter how mundane people are, the work we have to do, we should do it because of obedience and love to Christ. The third thing is, should we be driven in our work by Christ and not by man? The passage tells us this. It says here that we are to render service with enthusiasm as to the Lord and not to men and women. Verse 7. And this is a massive challenge for us in the corporate world today. We work in a world where it's sort of, you know, most appraisal systems work on the basis that the question is, what are your goals for the next? Where do you want to go? What do you want to do next? What's your next thing? What's your next promotion? Where are you going next? Next, next. And actually, I work with a lot of organizations that if you turn around and say, well, I'm very happy where I am, they say, well, you lack drive then. We're going to pass you over. And so you end up being driven not by what God wants sometimes, but by what your boss wants, what the pressure wants, sometimes what our lifestyle dictates. Because when we get promoted, we get a little bit more money and we have a better lifestyle, and therefore we want a better lifestyle, so we look for another promotion, another promotion, another promotion. And I'm not saying here promotion is bad. Christians do need to operate, I believe, at the highest levels of every organization. If we turn around and say, well, actually, being driven at work and being sort of and sort of you know, wanting to climb the corporate ladder isn't very Christian, then we don't ever get any Christians in the very top level of business, of the government, of private industry. It doesn't happen. So we should do. But are we doing it for the glory of Christ, or are we doing it because we want to look good? And the Christian worker in us actually says is that actually I should be doing things out of obedience to Christ. Who's driving my career? God or man? And that's the question we really seriously have to ask ourselves. The big question is, if getting promoted means that you have less time to spend with God, your family, with church, with fellow Christians, you have to ask yourself, is this the right thing for me to do? It may make total logical sense, but it may not be the right thing to do. Imagine going to somebody at work and saying, thank you so much for the offer of promotion. However, I don't believe God wants me to take it. Interesting discussion starter. See where that one goes. But actually, we have to think, who am I being driven by at work? Am I being driven by God or by man? And the final thing which this passage alludes to is that we need to be a witness in both words and actions. We can just talk about Christ with our people at work. But if we steal office supplies and gossip, then why would people listen to us? We can share Jesus effectively, but if our language and our behavior is no different than the people we work with, where's the witness? Apart from the fact you're saying, well, actually, you don't have to be that good to be a Christian. We can't tell people about the good news is if in every opportunity we complain and put people down. We need to be a good witness. It says this in Philippians 2. Do all things without grumbling or disputes, that you may be blameless and innocent. Children of God without blemish in the midst of this crooked and twisted generation, amongst whom you shine as lights in the world. We have been placed in the places of work that God has put you to be lights to the world. Therefore, we have to be lights. We have to be different by our behavior. We have to be somebody who actually is obedient and self-motivated and driven by Christ and not conforming to the world around them. So what does that actually look like? Well, I've got 4 points that I want to sort of finish with in terms of a practical thing. I think with work, whether it's a voluntary organization, a paid organization, or at school or university, the key thing here is the first thing is plant a flag as early as you can. What that means is tell people about your Christian faith early. There's no point having been there 5 years, they suddenly discover that you're a Christian. And they say, was this a new thing? Oh, no, I've been a Christian for 25 years. However, it's only in the last 6 months I've actually had the courage to tell anybody about it. Then actually, it ups the ante on you as well, because as soon as you say, I'm a Christian at work, people will look at you with much more critical. They will examine your language. How many times has any of you ever had this where you've said something and they said, I thought you were a Christian? And it may actually not be that bad. It's just something you've said where they didn't sort of expect a Christian to say. So we have to plant a flag as early as we can. It's not a place, work's not a place to have a soapbox, but it is a place to actually share Jesus with the people for whom we come into contact with. But we have to sort of tell them that we're a follower of Jesus in the first place. There's no point them watching you and thinking, well, they must be a really nice person. And then they figure out you're actually a Christian. You've wasted years even of actually being quite nice and nobody actually getting it because you've never told them that you're a follower of Jesus. The second thing is we need to be holy. At work, we need to be holy. What that means is we shouldn't take liberties with time. So we shouldn't do the thing where, you know, we've got 45 minutes for lunch, but everybody takes an hour. Yeah, but that's not what you're paid for. You're not doing it for Christ. Gossip. Sloppy work practices. Honesty is critical. Being holy, being faithful, showing Jesus in how you do your job is critical. If you're no different to the world around you, then nobody will listen to you. Number three, be ethical. From time to time, that actually you may be challenged to do something which is not ethical. And you have to think about what you're going to do. And how will you do that? And sometimes it's not a massacre ethical thing, because sometimes ethics is really easy, because it's very obvious, it's illegal. But sometimes, and particularly at work, very rarely will they ever ask you to do something illegal. But they'll do something that's right on the edge. Right on the edge of legality. Whether it be that you are pretty generous with the way that you, you don't always submit all the receipts for your expenses claim. Or you shouldn't really claim for that, but they just turned a blind eye to it. Or that the way we behave, the way that we sell things. I was talking to somebody recently who said that actually sometimes they're under pressure to sell things that they know the customer doesn't really want, like insurance. And they're under a huge amount of pressure to do that, even though every fibre in their being says, this is not right. We need to be ethical in our behaviour, and that will be costly. And the final thing is, we should use the opportunities as they arise. There are many formal and informal opportunities that we get day in, day out to share Jesus with the people around us. We need to recognize those and take them. And people give you a cue. They want to talk to you about stuff that comes up in the news, your view on something. It's a really interesting I found it, particularly in the last 2 years, it's a very interesting icebreaker when they find out that you are a minister. Because in my introduction, you just say, I have two jobs, and this is one of them. The other one is I'm a minister in the Church of England. And they do start some very interesting conversations with you, which has been incredible, which is really interesting, about what you think and what your views are. Now, I don't go to the same organisation day in, day out, so I see lots of different organisations. So these aren't a bunch of people I've known for years who suddenly ask me the questions. These are people that I meet for a day, and that will be it. They ask me some very interesting questions. There are opportunities that we can take. I think it is a challenge for us. It is a challenge for us. Because to be a Christian employee is really challenging in the UK at the moment. It is hard, and some of your organisations make it harder than others. And you know that because you work there. But actually, we need to make a stance. We need to actually be Christ's representatives in the place that he's put you. And he's put you there for a reason. And you need to be Jesus there. But don't worry. You won't be alone. I love this quote from Hudson Taylor, 19th century missionary to China. He said this, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. If we work in a Christian way, following the Bible, God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, will supply. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we all have to be Christ's representatives in the place that you've put us. Help us to be the type of Christian employees that you would be proud of. Help us to stand up for you. Help us to talk about you. Help us to live and speak of Jesus in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue.